Welcome to the Numerologist Podcast, where we bring you a very special guest every single week to help guide you on your spiritual journey, live with abundance, and inspire your soul.
Hi, Numerologist fans. Welcome to another episode of the Numerologist Podcast with me, Rose. In today's podcast, we are talking to Stella Wild. Now, Stella is a self-confessed word conjurer, tarot illuminator, cosmic interpreter, and dream manifester. As an intuitive advisor, Stella is on a mission to help her clients awaken, align, and advance. From her YouTube channel to her one-on-one soul sessions, Stella combines tarot with astrology to provide her audience with intuitive insights from the universe. Please join me in welcoming Stella. Hi, Stella. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for joining us. So you are a lady of many talents. You've got very many things that you kind of describe yourself. So I'm just going to read these out that I found on your bio. So you're a word conjurer, a tarot illuminator, cosmic interpreter, and dream manifester. So can you tell me what those descriptions mean to you and how much they sum up, how they sum up who you are?
Sure. You can tell that a poet wrote that, right? Because I do have an MFA in poetry. So words and word choice are very important to me. So I was trying to find a way to describe myself that, you know, felt just more a little more soul aligned. So yeah, word conjurer, because yeah, words are really important and they create spells, right? Every word is a spell if you think about it, right? Dream manifestor, I'd like to encourage people to follow their dreams, follow their hearts. So I like to, you know, be very encouraging in that way. And tarot illuminator, yes, bringing out the many layers of the tarot, absolutely. And what was the other one? Cosmic interpreter. That's a fancy way of saying I follow the stars and interpret them for you as an astrologer.
So let's break it down a bit. So that's sort of you in your bio. What is it that you do?
I really just am somebody who is somebody who helps people empower themselves and follow their dreams. And the tools I use are astrology and tarot. Mm-hmm. So primarily, I mean, I'm interested in a lot of other things as well. Creative writing, law of attraction principles, you know, lots of different things. But if I had to kind of just boil it down into something a little more basic, I would call myself an empowerment coach.
Okay.
Really.
Perfect. Now, you did just mention you use those two different methods of divination. You use tarot and astrology. So how can you tell me how those two work together and why do you think it's important to use those two things together?
Sure. I first would like to address this idea of divination, though, because it's a little bit of a tricky word. For me, it's about really accessing your own divine energies. And that's why, you know, I say in my videos on my channel that, you know, use the energy, don't let it use you. That, you know, these are energies you can work with. I do not want people to feel like this is what is written. Like, you have free will. You can make a choice to use that energy however it fits your life. You know, I want people to feel empowered, not just passive victims of, oh, the cards say this, therefore, you know. So that's where I come from too when I do my astrology and my tarot, because there are tools for insight and illumination to help us you know, figure out some of our talents, of course, some of our areas where we need further development, and how can we use both of those to really, you know, illumine our path and show us a way forward. But I really feel it's up to the individual. I can, you know, show you certain things in a chart, and then I can do a tarot reading and show you how that, those two energies are connecting. But then it's up to you to say, okay, yeah, that energy is coming up. I'm going to be dealing with that for a year based on the transit in my chart. And then, okay, here's a potential happening in the reading. How can I merge those two together for myself and find my way forward?
Absolutely. Now, in terms of astrology, you have got a few different things up your sleeve. You launched, what was your astrology book called? It's the My Year Ahead astrology book. Oh, yes. You've got it right there. There you go.
It's right here.
So can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, it's 2020 in You. I've always wanted to write a horoscope column, which I have been doing on my website for about a year and a half now. And I've always wanted to write about astrology, like much more in depth. And I thought, well, what better way to do that than to do a 2020 year ahead book? Because I already knew that this year was going to be kind of crazy. So I was just like, let me just go for it. Let's start with the hardest year, you know, astrologically speaking, and just go for it. So yeah, I wrote it in about 2 months. And of course self-published it on Amazon, and I can't wait to do the one for 2021. And I basically organized the book through the major aspects for the year ahead. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like a chapter on this sign, a chapter on that sign. It's really the meat, because there are so many things going on this year.
Absolutely.
It's
so funny when I talk to astrologers, they say, we always knew there was something going to happen this year. We just couldn't quite put our fingers on it. Can you tell me about how it felt when you were writing this book? Could you, you know, what was the energy telling you?
Well, I called the theme for the year, I called it the year of radical reinvention, because it's like, this energy does not play. This is long-term transformational energy. And it's like, I was just writing it thinking, because I also know how it hits my own chart. So I was like, oh God, you know. So, but I just felt like it really was a point of no return, that there would be a point of no return for people, and that there were going to have to be a lot of hard decisions, but not just one fork in the road, multiple forks in the road as the energy played out over the year. So, and that it would be really a lot of culling out of inauthentic stuff. That it really, this energy, yes, is challenging, but I mean, in my opinion, it's helpful in that we've had to face a lot of, you know, things that we are just not aligned with. Mm-hmm. And the change process for that and letting it go, yeah, it's not easy, but it's also a gift.
Absolutely. And I'm sure our podcast listeners are sick of me saying this, but it's all about perspective, right?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah. I always try, I mean, I'm an Aries, right? And I got Jupiter very prominently in my chart. Like, I'm always looking at the optimistic glasses half full. That's just, you know, how I am. So, yes.
Let's, I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent here, but let's talk about, you know, you mentioned you looked at the year, but then you looked at the year in terms of your chart as well. How important is it for people to not just look at the energies of, in a general sense, but also look inside and within their own chart?
What you mean, as of somebody writing a horoscope or just?
Well, no. For example, I'm a Pisces and, you know, my chart is all over the place. How would it be important for me to look into my own personal chart when I'm looking at the energies of this year? Not necessarily me writing it, but me navigating it.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Because that's the thing, right? You can watch or listen, you know, read a horoscope, watch a video, whatever, on, you know, your sun sign, but it's not going to give you the whole picture as if you actually looked at your chart and knew, oh, guess what? My sun is at 20 degrees Pisces, which is maybe would put you around like a March 9th, 10th, 11th birthday, mm-hmm. and you're going to get hammered by Neptune right now. It's over your sun, but you wouldn't know that unless you knew what was going on with the energies right now and where your personal planets are.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was good intuition, by the way. My birthday is March 11th.
Oh, I must be psychic.
Well, let's talk about that. Do you have psychic ability? Do you have clairs?
Yes. Yes.
So how do you define yourself there? Or do you define yourself? I suppose that's a better question.
Yeah. I prefer the term intuitive, but, you know, and I do have mediumistic capabilities, but I don't advertise that either. I don't label myself as that because in my own practice, I'm very ethical and very honest. It's inconsistent. So I will not say I am a medium. it's sometimes I can really tap into it and other times I can't, you know, with in terms of people who've passed on. But that is a kind of a little niche that I'm that talent that I have. But yes, I have a lot of, if you look at somebody's chart, you can see where their intuitive abilities may be indicated, you know, stronger intuitive. We all have intuition, but stronger intuitive capabilities are indicated in a natal chart. And I have several signatures of that in my chart. So yes. Yes.
And it's actually, it's not just your chart, is it? You have spirituality in your blood. Can you tell me about your background and how you sort of came to this life of spirituality?
I've just always been a little different. I used to joke that, you know, a UFO dropped me on my parents' doorstep because I always felt kind of out of sync with everybody else, and for several reasons. And so I've just always been interested in, you know, poetry, literature, music, and, you know, my family, I love them dearly, but they have a much more, shall we say, pragmatic background. And, you know, since I was a kid, I was always interested in all of those types of things. And I think I have strong past life connections to monastic life and things like that. I really feel that very deeply. But yeah, I mean, I worked in a church for a time as well. Oh, wow. In the 90s. Yeah, I worked for a congregational church. Yeah. So I've always felt called to that kind of spiritual contemplative life. I have a life path number 7. So, you know,
did I read that was it your great grandma who used to read tea leaves?
Yes, she did. I never got to meet her, unfortunately, but yes, she apparently used to do that and had quite a following in her Long Island neighborhood. Yes. She was the original Long Island mystic medium, whatever.
Oh, that's funny, isn't it? Knowing your heritage.
And my mother was a Pisces and she was very, very intuitive. Mm-hmm. And she would say as a little girl, she would just kind of sit on the sidelines and watch, you know, her grandma do these things. And it was fascinating. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So at what point did you say, okay, you know, this is who I am. This is the direction in life I'm taking. And, you know, this is the business I want to build for myself.
The business, it's interesting. The business, I've always wanted to work for myself. So that was like a given. And I've always had kind of little different side entrepreneurial things ever since, you know, a long time ago. But in terms of turning this into a business, I only did it very recently. I had what I like to call a very long apprenticeship for various reasons. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been like a kind of, it's like, this has been part of my life for so long. It really just is who I am. I mean, I was like doing astrology charts by hand when I was 12, you know, it's just like something that I've always been interested in. And, it was in 2018. I started from the business perspective, but mm-hmm. I have been doing readings for 30 years.
Sorry to cut you off. What made you go take things onto YouTube and do the readings on YouTube?
Well, YouTube is where it's at. Mm-hmm. And my Mars in Leo loves to entertain. So natural medium for me. I love video and it's fun. And so it's a good way to connect with people.
Absolutely. And, you know, I find a lot of people that I talk to love to get on YouTube and they have just started YouTube for, you know, doing their own readings and practicing and those kinds of things. And they built up this amazing following, which mm-hmm. is great. It's a great community of people you can connect with from all mm-hmm. over the world, which is amazing.
Yes. Yes. I am a great YouTube fan. Yeah. Love it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, talking of community, we did actually get a few questions from our audience, our community, which I'd like to just ask you. There are quite a lot, so we'll see how many we get through.
Okay.
So the first question is about soulmates and how to manifest a soulmate.
How to manifest a soulmate? A twin flame or a soulmate?
Well, this one's specifically soulmate, but we can talk about both.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have problems with labels And I really have problems with those labels, honestly, because how about like how to manifest someone who is going to help you grow personally and teach you some things about yourself? Yeah, how about absolutely. Just that? You yeah. know, I mean, that's, I mean, but you know, I want my gold. I've been around the block. I'm like soulmate. Oy, right. I'm rolling my eyes. But no, I think it's great. I feel like, first of all, there's several different manifestation techniques you can use, depending on, you know, what you're drawn to. But I find the thing that works the best, whether you're trying to manifest love, money, success, whatever, is scripting, is journaling, is writing it down as if it has already happened and being extremely grateful for the fact that it's already happened.
All right. So the next question is, how did the law of attraction work for you in your life?
Oh my gosh. This is my favorite story to tell.
Oh, good.
So I'm telling you, like, I wrote a blog post about this as well, but, which you can read on my blog. It's amazing how this thing works. So like I said, I'm a writer. I mean, I have 2 advanced degrees in writing. Like that is my go-to. Other people, they do other things. That's fine. So back in the summer of 2014, I was really in just a bad place with my then full-time job. And I was feeling disgusted, et cetera, as many of us can get at one point or another in our lives. And I was just writing every morning. I want to write and I want to travel. I just kept every morning. So 6 months later, I got a call from an old friend and I had had a dream about him the night before. And he called me about 4 days later. I hadn't heard from him in like, I don't know, 4 years or something. I had this dream that I was with him. I was talking to him, whatever. He calls me and he said, hey, I have this business proposition for you. We need somebody to come to Istanbul and do some writing and we'll pay your expenses. And I was in Istanbul 2.5 months later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so really
it
helpful.
Works. It works. But I had it in my mind that I was going to Paris because that's one of my favorite places. I thought, oh, somehow like that would manifest somehow. But the universe had a different plan for me because I kept it open enough. The desire was just, I want to write and travel. Mm-hmm. The trip I ended up taking was magnificent. Better than anything I could have imagined. So
that's incredible. And it shows that, you know, when it's time, you know, and when you sort of put it out there to the universe, it gives you something in a way that you may not necessarily have asked for specifically. And like you said, you kept it open, which is really a really good tip, I think.
Yeah, I think it's good to know what you want and be somewhat specific. It was really just, I mean, honestly, at that point, because I just wanted out of that job, I would have probably gone anywhere. But I mean, it was open in that sense, yes. But I think we need to leave room for magic to enter our lives, you know, and sometimes, you know, even when sometimes I work with clients, I try to gently like introduce that idea because sometimes, I mean, I have Mercury in Taurus, so I get it. We can get so stubbornly fixated on one thing, but what if it's something better? Mm-hmm. You know, like leave room for that.
Absolutely. You don't know what you don't know, do you?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. What next? So this is a question, we're going back to tarot now. This is a question about tarot for beginners. For someone just starting with reading tarot cards, where should they begin? What's the first step to learning how to read tarot cards?
Well, practice every day. And, I would say get yourself a good book, but I'm old school. I like books. Okay. Yes, you can find a lot of stuff on the internet, but have a book that you really like. My first book was, it's Nancy Garen's book. I'm trying to remember the exact title of it, but it's Garen, Nancy Garen. Awesome, awesome book that, I mean, you should see the book. It's like black on the side of it from me thumbing through it. I still have it from the early 90s, thumbing through it. And I did reading after reading after reading for myself and just kept looking things up and then just starting to play with it. And, you know, the other thing too, I would say is for people just starting out, instead of trying to get overwhelmed and learn like, you know, the Celtic cross, just pull a card a day. You know, you can do that. Pull 3 cards. Learn how to work with managing your own wishful thinking is very important. And recording and seeing patterns too, when you ask certain questions and what cards come up, if they come up, what energies come up again and again, and paying attention to that. And managing your own wishful thinking, and practice with real people. I mean, tell them, hey, I'm practicing, I'm new at this, and just have fun. I mean, have fun with it. But also look at it as, I feel, one of the best ways is that it is a story. Mm-hmm. It is a story. And a good reader makes a story, makes the connections out of the patterns and the imagery. Mm-hmm. So anybody can sit there and say, oh, this means this. Anybody can do that. But if you really want to do this to deepen the practice for yourself, to read for other people, it's about making the connections. And telling and seeing the threads of the story.
And it's interesting you said manage your own wishful thinking as well, because I think a lot of people set out and think, I'm going to learn tarot today. And it's you just mentioned you've got a book since the 90s, and it's been, had so much use that you're still using it today, I'm assuming. And it's that lifelong thing, isn't it? You don't just learn it now. It's constantly an evolution.
Right. I mean, like I said, I had a very long apprenticeship for various reasons, because of things in my personal life. And, I was doing other things with writing and teaching and all of that, but I think it's important to allow yourself to be an apprentice. And, and I think that's a really good point to emphasize. I mean, you don't maybe have to do it for 25 years the way I did as being an apprentice, but yeah, definitely allow yourself time to learn and grow, and because it is a lot. But of course, the more you do it and the more you practice, the more you read, the more you study, mm-hmm. You get better and better at it. Absolutely. And really trusting your own intuition and really learning it for yourself. While it's great to watch other readers, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's great, but find your own style, find your own way of understanding the energies also. Don't be copycat, copying other people, what they're doing. Find your unique voice. Same thing with writing, right? The same concept.
Yeah, it's actually funny you say that, because I went to, there's a Sahi Expo on down the road last week, and I went to a tarot reader last week. And, I haven't been actively learning tarot or anything like that, but I do obviously get, the content coming in from the tarot experts every week from numerologists. And this is something that I'd like to put to you, because the tarot reader, she brought out these cards, and the way she read them isn't necessarily, and me not being an expert at all, the way she read them wasn't necessarily the way that I would read them. So the reading that she gave me didn't resonate, but the reading I gave myself did. So what would you say about that?
Right. And see, this is what's interesting, right? Just like how when we read a poem by a certain poet, oh, we get it, we love it, blah, blah, blah. We read another poem by another poet, and you're like, what? What was that? So it's the same thing. But I would say the bottom line with that, especially, is take what resonated for you. Those cards did come out in that reading for a reason for you. And yes, maybe it was for you to kind of get your own message out of it, not maybe what she was saying. So always check in your own intuitive barometer, right? What your own feeling with that. But then, of course, it is a fine line between that and wishful thinking sometimes. So it's kind of like you have to just be brutally honest with yourself and be like, all right, was I just kind of wanting to hear what I wanted to hear? Was there maybe a tiny kernel of truth in what she said? And I just, I don't know.
And I think the thing is as well with that, it's what we were talking about just before, about the universe giving you something in a way that you didn't necessarily expect it. So who knows, what my next 12 months might look like. It might be absolutely spot on.
But I think the other thing too is, when it's like the energy itself doesn't feel right. I mean, that's another thing too. I think we've all had experiences like that. I know I have, where you get a reading and you just feel like there's a layer of slimy goo on you. Like you just feel like something, what was that? So
Now I just want to talk about tarot misconceptions. Cause I think one of them we just talked about was the fact that you can't just learn tarot like that. Are there any other misconceptions that you kind of come across from time to time?
Well, one of the things that really bothers me is when people just dismiss it out of hand or think, label it, you know, I hate labels, label it as evil or something. And it's like this, you know, tarot, of course, was invented many, many hundreds of years ago, and then of course modified by various people along the way. But the Rider-Waite in particular, I mean, has its basis in Christian symbols. And so for it, for you to say it's anti-Christian, not you personally, but for someone to say it's anti-Christian or it's evil, it's the devil. Well, you know, Arthur Waite, I mean, he was coming at it from a very spiritual perspective. And in fact, ended up breaking with the Golden Dawn over what he was doing with the tarot, because Yeats and all those people were much more into more of the occult stuff. And Waite was going in a much more spiritual Christian direction. So that's one thing that really annoys me. It is a misconception.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's an interesting thing to say. And I have said this a few times. Again, I feel like my listeners might think I'm a bit of a broken record. But it's one of those things that hopefully, like everything spirituality, it's becoming a bit more mainstream and a bit more widely accepted. Because, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends now have tarot decks and they have oracle cards and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I think 10 years ago, that would be extremely... You know, you wouldn't be putting that on social media. You wouldn't be outwardly saying that, you know, I read tarot and all those kinds of things, because it was seen as, you know, woo-woo and a bit out there. But it's becoming a bit more mainstream. Do you find that too?
Yes, you know, because I am a little bit older than you, Rose. I do remember the 70s when... you could go to the local Five and Dime, which is where I used to go in my neighborhood, and buy like Linda Goodman's sun signs and, you know, Sidney Omar's astrology book for the year ahead and all that kind of stuff. And then I don't know what happened in the 80s and 90s, but all of a sudden there was this something, I don't know, mm-hmm. stigma, whatever. But it's so refreshing to see the resurgence of astrology and tarot and oracle cards and all these opportunities for people to, you know, really empower themselves with these tools and learn more about themselves and what makes them tick and how they can actualize their gifts and their soul purpose. So, yeah.
Absolutely. All right. I'm just going to have a look at some other questions that we got. So what is a yes, no reading in tarot?
I guess if people are asking, I want to know, is this going to happen or not? And you just pull and whatever the card is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's something upside down, it's probably a no, depending on what the card is, but yeah. You know,
yeah.
And it might be a yes with conditions if the card is upright and depending on what it is. So
see, that's a very difficult question, isn't it? Because we've just talked about the fact that tarot is, it's not definitive. It's all about perspective. It's about the way you read it. So, you right. know, it's not a yes or no type of practice, right?
Right. Right. Cause what if the answer was the death card upright? Well, yes, but you're going to have to make a big change. Are you willing to do that? Well, yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. Then your answer is no. Like, because it always comes down to the individual. You need to empower yourself. That is so important. Never give your power away to a reader, to an astrologer, to anybody. It always comes back to you. But by that being said, be open-minded enough to listen to the information and take your guidance from it. You know, but you're always the final yes or no. Mm-hmm.
I probably should have asked this question at the very start, but the question is, what is manifestation? Can you explain it for beginners?
Manifestation for beginners. Well, you have a desire and you ask, believe, and receive, and you do the alignment work to bring that situation into being, or thing, or whatever it is, into being. And I think there's a lot that goes into it.
Absolutely. I think a perfect example of that was you writing, you know, every day I want to write, I want to travel, and it coming to fruition. Mm-hmm. So what are some easy techniques then for beginners to start manifesting their desires and their dreams?
Oh, definitely. Well, two I swear by is my little morning practice. And you don't have to do it every morning. I don't do it every morning. Most mornings I do. I keep a journal. So I just write down what the hell's going on. And then just to get it out, whatever's bothering me, don't leave stuff stuck inside of you. Get it out, you know, because that energy in there doesn't help your alignment or your manifestation. And then keep a manifestation journal, date it, write. You can imagine, you can do all sorts of things. You can like have the gratitude practice. I am so happy and grateful now that so-and-so has happened, whatever it is. I am someone who is blah, blah, blah. Like if you're trying to manifest a certain, you know, aspect, I am someone who is 10 pounds lighter, you know, whatever it is. I'm manifesting that one. You know, you can write letters to the universe, co-creating with you, dear universe, thank you for co-creating with me this brand new opportunity to do blah, blah, blah. Again, that it's already happened. Date them, consistently do them. And as Neville Goddard says, the vision will arrive at its own appointed hour. That's my favorite quote. You know, do your work, keep the faith. And that's the thing, like people don't have patience in general. Yes. In our quick society, like instant Instagram, like, no, it's not like an Instagram moment. It takes time for things to manifest, but they will, if you keep the faith, hold the vision, do the work. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So this question is about quick daily habits to increase one's manifestation prowess. But I think that kind of links to what we've just been talking about, right? Patience and also, consistency.
Yeah. Patience and consistency, and then anything you can do to just really clear out stale energy also, whether that's decluttering, saging, I know it sounds like such like a cliche and everybody like talks about, you know, Marie Kondo and all that, but I mean, really Marie Kondo your life, like get the junk out that really no longer speaks to what you're trying to create. You know, I've been working on that too. I have a lot of stuff that is really things from past lives, like this life, but past life, you know, that I got to get rid of, like, it doesn't speak to, you know, who I am becoming in the world. And that's the thing to ask yourself, who am I trying to become in the world? And if all this stuff around me is not aligned with that vision, why is it here? Because that's what I'm seeing every day. So I'm like reaffirming that old vision rather than making space for the new thing to come in.
Absolutely. Now, before we finish, I just want to go back to your book that we were talking about just before.
Oh, sure.
And I have two questions. The first question is, you know, what does the rest of the year look like? And more specifically, I'm asking, you know, it's still time to buy your 2020 book, right? There's still plenty to go on in the latter half of the year.
Yes. Well, the big news, of course, is Mars in Aries for 6 months into January of 2021, and Mars will go retrograde, and it's going to square Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter in Capricorn. So depending again on how that's going to affect your chart, but particularly people, Aries, Libra, Capricorn, Cancer individuals. This is what I feel it's like, the energy's like. It's like, I mean, it's such a cliche, but it does work. Like you're the butterfly, you got halfway out of the chrysalis and those wings are struggling. And you're in that in between and you're like, God, do I even want to do this? Do I want, when Mars goes retrograde, you're like, do I really want to do this and get out of this, whatever that cocoon has meant for you in your life. And it's going to be, you don't have a choice. You got to get out. But that Mars retrograde period, there's a kind of sticky full moon in the middle of October. So we just kind of like, got to try not to let it throw us too much, batten down the hatches, so to speak, stay in alignment. There's going to be a lot that's going to want to throw us off our track for sure. But reassess wherever Aries falls in your chart, those, you know, 2 months. And then we have a big November 30th, full moon. I think it's the full moon in Gemini, November 30th. And that'll be another release point. And then we have that big eclipse, December 14th in Sagittarius, new moon solar eclipse. So a lot of beginnings can start from whatever we finally, truly, some old role that we let go of in our lives. And we're just still trying to figure out how, what pieces to take with us, what our wings, the colors of our wings, what they're going to look like. And when we figure that out, we're going to be ready to fly in the middle of December. And then, of course, we have Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, December 21st, the solstice, whole new 20-year cycle for everybody in a different area of your chart. So, yeah, we're refining a few things this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. My second question is, have you started to look into next year yet and started to write next year's book?
Yes. And it's what's really funny is that I did a couple of readings last week and I had been thinking so much about 2021. I kept saying 2021 when I was doing the readings. I'm like, wait a minute, we're not there yet. I guess I'm trying to fast forward out of 2020, you know.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the big news next year, of course, is Saturn squaring Uranus in Taurus, Saturn and Aquarius squaring. So that's going to be an interesting energy to look at. But we'll thankfully get out of all of this craziness. Pluto will still be in Capricorn, obviously, but there'll be some interesting moments next year. But I'm hoping not as intense as this year.
Absolutely. Now, where can we get your books? Are they on your website?
They are on Amazon.
Okay, so, great. Yeah. We'll put a link to your book in the description here. And also, we'll put a link to your website because you do your soul session readings, which combine the astrology and tarot as well. So people can go there to your website. So can you just say your website so people can hear it?
Yes, it's stellawild.com, wild with an E.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Stella, for being on the podcast. We've really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much, Rose. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Numerologist Podcast. If you loved it, make sure you subscribe. And don't forget to check the show notes for an extra special free gift.